baking bread experienced a fire. And so I'm sure, I don't know all of the details of that and how they're recovering, but, you know, we're going to continue to help in that fashion. So, yeah. And Scott is coming again. We just can't get enough of Scott. Yeah. Thank you, Vanna. I'll take an E for 200, Jack. you have about a week that's left. And there are some of those still left out there. It's not going to cost you anything. If you'd like to take that, put that in your yard, you plan on attending Easter Sunday, we'd love to see more of those around town. Here, you know, here's something. If you use it in your yard, just think, if you want to have a garage sale, all you got to do is put a sign over top of it later. Just trying to help you. Okay? God is so good. We just thank you for being here. Let's welcome our online crowd. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. I've got a message for today, and I've got another one for next week. So we're going to jump off the authority of the believer and go into something a little different. It always deals with your authority in Christ. Your identity is in Christ. You all know that. And so they all kind of interlink. Everything, the Bible always works out together. You ever notice that? The scriptures always work out. It always helps each other. I mean, it's just all true. There's nothing wrong in the Bible. The Bible is always true. Anyway, I want to get right to it. This is Palm Sunday, and I wanted to share with you just the meaning of Palm Sunday. So, you know, if you're new to church, or even if you're not new to church, but here we go. Palm Sunday is the Christian movable feast that falls on Sunday before Easter. Feast commemorates Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, an event mentioned in each of the Gospels. Its name originates from the palm branches waved by the crowd to greet and honor Jesus Christ as he entered the city. Palm Sunday marks the first day of Holy Week. In Western Christianity, it's the beginning of the last week of the solemn season of Lent preceding Easter, while in Eastern Christianity, Holy Week commences after the conclusion of Lent. Christians all over the world are making preparations for Palm Sunday, a holiday commemorating Jesus Christ's final days on earth, his trial and crucifixion. The Christian celebration observed on the first of the Holy Week marks Jesus' triumphal entry, as we said, into the city of Jerusalem, which he rode on a donkey and was welcomed by a jubilant and palm branch holding crowds who thought he would release them from Roman oppression. Palm Sunday makes no sense if you think about it unless you understand that shortly after Jesus would do that, he would die and pay the price for anybody, no matter prostitute or religious person, to forgive their sins and give them an entrance into the new kingdom, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Isn't that awesome? Jesus would do that for you and I. So, you know, the title of this message is actually, I titled it, and I got it a few weeks ago, Beggar or Believer. So when you first hear it, you're going to think, oh, okay, this could be a rags-to-riches message. It's not that kind of message. That's not what I'm here to talk to you about. I'm here to just talk to you about Jesus. And that's, we're going that direction. Is that okay? But I just want to go over a story, and I know you're going to know the story, but life does not get better by chance. It gets better by change. It doesn't get better by chance. It gets better by change. And that change is made by choice. And that choice is turning to Jesus. And that's going to be the focus of what we're talking about. For things to change, you got to understand that you and I are the change agents. You know, I mean, how many of it? Well, I've said this before, but anybody in here besides me lost weight and gained it, found it again, lost it, gained it? I feel like a slinky. But, you know, I am the change agent. You know, it's not like Kim's over top of me. Now, I'm not going to let you put that in your mouth. She would never do that. But, so, you know, it's, I have to enforce to make a change. Everybody agree with that? Amen? Okay, so we have to start thinking differently. I have to put my hand to it. I have to decide this is something that the Lord wants me to do. This is something that's meaningful for me. This will give me good results, better health, or whatever the reason. I need to put my hand to it. We have to involve God. God is with you. God is in you. You are actually, the kingdom of God is in you, so you might as well get him involved. Because when what you do, he's in there, he's just activated by you. He can be strong in you, or he can just sit there and go, I wish you'd use me. See how quiet that is? But it's true. We have to get God involved. It's time for you and I to put our hand to our future. It's time for us to stop being discouraged. It's time for us to love what you do. It's time for us to take God at his word and just believe him. If God said it, that settles it. It's time for us to believe. It's time for us to see ourselves as God sees us. It's time to see the things that God wants to do. The people, he loves everybody. He doesn't want any to perish. What could you do to help make that mission happen? Mark 10, 46 through 52, you'll know this story, but we're going to do it. They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging, and when he heard, everybody said heard. You understand, Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, all right? So when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, sounds like I'm lisping when I say that. It was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, I'm sorry, it's just me. I mean, you know, cried out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, and he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And now listen to this. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, again, there are things that are very recognizable in this story that you could almost be like, kind of obvious. What do you think I want? You know, I mean, but again, remember, faith is voice activated. There are things that need to happen. So anyway, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately, the Bible says, he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Now, this is a true story. This isn't fiction. This isn't made up. This isn't Uncle Remus. This isn't, you know, like Aesop's fables. This isn't anything like that. This is the account of how this happened. This is a story of perspective and determination and choices that back those things up. Perspective and determination. Proverbs 23, 7, the first part of that says, for as he thinks in his heart, you could finish it, so is he. As he thinks in his heart. So let's turn the clock back a little bit. Think a minute. Back in that day, there was no cure for blindness, so to speak. You could either see well or levels of degrees of well or not, or you couldn't see very well or levels of degree of that. And that is really kind of today. We have some of those same issues, okay? We understand that. But we have more choices today because we have learned some things. There's people that study the eyeball, the iris, and the retina, and all of that. There's, you know, we have more choices. Back then, there are no choices. There's no optometrist. There's no contacts, no bifocals, no laser surgery, no Pearle Vision, no Walmart Vision Center. There's nothing like that. If you couldn't function in society due to lack of sight, what do? Braille hadn't been invented yet. That wasn't invented until 1854. You're pretty much left to fend for yourself. It wasn't until 1920s or 1930s that the white sticks with red tips on the canes were invented, you know, to use as a sign that the person was blind. I mean, so back then, we're going to get there, but I'm just trying to set the scene. Now, I was approached one time, true story, get out of my car to go into, this is back, I don't even know if they have these anymore, Hallmark shops. Do they still have them? Okay, Mal worked in one time, but this is not where she worked, but I was going to a Hallmark shop, probably going to buy something for PK. But I got stopped by a guy with a white stick and a red-tipped and dark sunglasses. What does that say to you? He's blind. And he stops me. I'm walking, and he walks up to me, you know, and first I'm thinking, now, this is going to sound really cruel. I'm thinking, how does he know I'm here? Right here. you know, but, you know, maybe he's like, oh, we hear you. I don't know. I'm sorry for the accent. I'm sorry. I don't know. So anyway, he comes up and he says, do you have any money? Would you give me some money? Now, I'm feeling guilty because he's blind. It's not my fault he's blind, but I mean, I feel like compassion. Maybe that's a better word. Maybe I should help him. God, do you want me to? And this is what the Lord said to me. Ask him for his driver's license. Now, you ever have like a random thought? Ask him for his driver's license. So I said, I might be able to help you. Can I see your driver's license? Because on there it would say if your eyesight's impaired. He goes, oh, sure. And then he walks away, and I was like, wow! I thought, I didn't even pick that up, but the Lord already knew that. I'm a fry shy of a happy meal. I don't know that I would have came up with, can I see your driver's license? Sounds kind of silly. But the point is, he wasn't really blind. But the chance of, back in that day, of having a good living is almost impossible. You're left pretty much to fend for yourself. So your choice, if you didn't have family that would take care of you, now I'm not saying family wouldn't, you might have had family that are very supportive back then. It's not like all of a sudden now, you know, families are supporting. I mean, back then, families were families just like they are today. But if you didn't, and there's no record of Bartimaeus having any, your options are pretty much pulled out from under you. So his option was begging. He had heard about Jesus. We read that. And he'd heard about that he heals people. So he kind of gets an idea of what his mojo is, what Jesus does. And he's going to be walking by. And he's like, this is good. And I want you to think, this has got to be one of the busiest times. If this is what you did for a living, if you were begging, like real estate, they would say, here's three things you need to know about if you're buying or selling. Location, location, location. But if you were begging, you have better chance of making more money on a busy day with a lot of traffic than on a day where hardly anybody is walking by. Your odds are better for that day. There's not a multitude walking by all of the time. I'm sure maybe the streets were busy, but I'm saying, you know when there's a big crowd. Have you ever walked downtown Marion during the popcorn festival? We took Mal when she was little, and we had one of those little rainbow strollers. That poor girl, all she could see was the back of people's legs, calves, and rear ends. I mean, you can't hardly move because there was just people. And then people, and we've been guilty of it too, everybody stops in the middle of the street to talk. You see somebody they know, and hey, how you doing? And you just want to be like, could you just move to the side? I mean, visit all you want, but we can't get through. So this is a busy time. There are people. He can hear. He knows people are coming, so his odds are better. Have you seen people? Why do people stand on busy intersections with signs? Please help me. Need food. It amazes me, and I'm not, and again, I don't want this to come up that we don't have compassion. That's not what I'm saying. There have been times that, you know, I'm sure if God told you, it might look like, you don't know if they're true or if they're not, but if the Lord said go ahead and give, I'm not against that if the Lord told you to. I get it. I don't like the fact sometimes we've seen where they have their kids out there. I'm like, could we not protect the kids from this? I don't know. Those things go through my mind. And then I don't want to be suspicious of everybody that holds a sign. Because can I see it on your wallet? Oh, sure. Oh. I have another story I'm going to share with you in a second. But Bartimaeus, he recognizes who's coming by. He hears because there's people saying, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And people are shouting, and he's like, it's the guy that heals. It's Jesus, the Messiah. He's the Son of David. He's coming. Because he can call him Son of David, he has a little bit of knowledge of what the scriptures say, of the history. He knew that God in the flesh is about to pass by. And he's saying to himself, this is big. This should be priority. Nothing else is mattering. Now, this is what I want you to understand. This is a great day to gather and beg for money because of the people, because of Jesus. He could have stayed and made that choice and just thought, and we could all say we're guilty of it, God, I will do whatever another day. Give me another chance. But right now, he could have just said, I'm going to beg because there's so many people here. He could have made probably maybe a few months worth of begging in one short time compared to what he would make, you know, daily. But he has to make a choice. Here's my other story. Pastoring in another city, and I pull up off the interstate, and there's a guy. This is exactly what his sign says. Please help. Will work for food. Pulled up, put the window down. Back in that day, I offered him $10 an hour, which was higher than minimum wage. I'm not sure what minimum wage is now. Is it 14 or something? I don't know. But anyway, we had some work at the church. I thought, he's going to work for food. Awesome. So I said, look, hey, if you come with me, I got probably at least 3 or 4 hours of work you could do around the church and the tools that you could do it with. You don't even have to use any of the money to eat. I'll buy your lunch too. You can just have the money when you're done. He looked at me and laughed in my face. Turned around and he goes, why would I do that? I said, I'll give you 10 bucks an hour. That's more than minimum wage. So you're going to make $30 to $40, plus I'll feed you. He looked right at me, looked me in the eye, and he goes, why would I do that? I can make much more money just standing right here. I just like, I went away going, God, there are choices that we have. There are things that, you know, would that have been his all-out answer? He might have made more money, but if he's not a good steward of his money, I guarantee you he's going to be right back at that corner. We've all seen people that stay at the corner and they have coolers of stuff people are giving them. And I'm like, what? But this situation for Bartimaeus is gold. He has a choice. He could make money and he could be on not easy street, but probably he's still going to have his blindness. But he's starting to weigh things now. I want you to understand, he's starting to weigh things now. Now, this was a beggar's dream. Tons of people. Pity. Guilt. But here's what happened. He wasn't thinking. Bartimaeus is changing his mindset. He's not thinking like a beggar and saying, I want to be a beggar tomorrow. He is thinking, here's my chance to not beg anymore. Here's my chance to change who I am. His mindset begins to shift. Boy, I just feel the Lord up here. My goodness. He's filled with hope now. He's seeing in himself what it would be like to see. How about you? I mean, you ever just like, sometimes you're just like, oh, what would it be like? That's where he's at. I don't want to go on like this anymore. A lot of us just exist. But see, Bartimaeus is changing his thought now. Now he's saying, if I go this route, I am all in. I'm not going to be half. Back in the day, if you're an old saint, it was like 99 and a half won't do. He's all in. If I'm going this route, baby, I'm in. I'm not going to go half in. I don't want to survive. I want to thrive. And we make choices like this daily. Some choices will push us forward. Some choices will keep us the same. Some choices will knock us back. What choices are we making? We are so busy doing us, we forget that God so loved. We forget that there's other people that might be hurting besides you. And maybe some of the things you're going through, if you would reach out and help somebody else, it It just might help heal what you're going through. So many times, and I'm guilty of this, so please, I'm not judging anybody. We do the work of the Lord, but what do we remember the Lord of the work? So many times I'm guilty of just putting God off. I was just telling Roy, who's a wonderful gentleman that's sitting out there. Oh, there he is. He's my buddy. He's my karate buddy from years ago. We used to spar a lot together. But I was telling him, I said, I was mowing my yard, and I was just talking to the Lord. And I was frustrated with myself. And I was like, Lord, I'm going to be 65 this year. And I've allowed myself to, you know, so I'm just telling him, I'm just being real. I've allowed myself to put weight back on, and I don't like it. I'm tired of it. But see, I had to get to that point before. Does that make sense? You have to get to a point where you're just fed up with being fed up. And the Lord is so good. He's so kind. Holy Spirit said, well, it works a lot better when you listen to me. Thank you. Because I could go back, and as I'm mowing the yard, I can go back and think of all the times I didn't listen to him. You know, when it concerned just, you know, that area I'm telling him about. I've just put him off. Now, let's just think about Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus not calling out to Jesus would mean I'm choosing this great opportunity to beg. Instead of saying, Jesus, have mercy on me, he'd be saying something different. Alms for the poor. Hey, could you help me out? Hey, I can't see. But he is calling out to the only one that can help him because he has had enough. Have you ever had enough? I grew up with a mother that put up with me till she had had enough. I listened to Mark Lowry one time. He said, I wish all mothers would have a little red dot put on the back of their head that would blink and light up 10 seconds before enough. Because you can make a lot of tracks in 10 seconds, he said. Oh, my. My dad didn't have that little time of grace. My dad would have enough instantly. So I already knew I could push mama a little bit. But he had had enough. Let me just say this. The enemy is always going to try to bait you to not do what you need to do. He's going to try to tell you to shut up, be quiet. How's he going to do it? He might use other people to try to influence that if that is against the word. Because the enemy is always going to go against the word. Mark 10:48, many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. They told him, be quiet, shut up. We used to tell our kids, we don't say shut up. We were trying to tell them that was a bad word. I mean, shut up's not a bad word, but we just didn't want them to go, shut up. That has nothing to do with anything I'm talking about. I'm just telling you, just as a parent. But it leads me to a question. How desperate are we? How desperate do we get? I mean, if we're doing something and it's not bringing results, I like results. And if I'm not getting results, it's usually, guess who's to blame? The change agent. It's not my kids. It's not my wife. It's me. It's not God. It's easy to blame God because God, you know, God doesn't even have to ever defend himself because he's God. He created you. Anyways, have you ever had enough? Are you just over it? It's amazing the influence that other people have on us where we'll have to just go with the crowd because we don't want to say anything. And sometimes there's wisdom into not saying it. I'm not saying every time you need to pipe up. There are times that God might say, be still and be quiet and just know that I'm God. There are some battles if you pipe up, probably not good. Because if you're not ready to defend them, some people are ready to defend their side. And then you can't. And then you're like, I wish I would have just kept my mouth shut. But you got to follow the Lord. But we get pressured, peer pressured. You know where Harding High School is? Now it is a middle school now, isn't it? Yeah, remember Max Trading Post? Anybody? That was the place, man. I bought my tennis racket. I lettered in tennis at two high schools. You'd never know that. Played for Ohio State for a little bit. I like to play tennis. I haven't played tennis in years. But I bought my tennis racket at Max Trading Post. Bought my Converse tennis shoes. Remember Converse when they first came out? Oh, man, you were cool if you had Converse. I mean, that was just like all the kids had Converse. If they were, cool. And the pressure you felt like. My buddies would be like, hey, Gleese, look at that. You got my Converse. And I have all these things. Remember Kings? Some of you, we all remember. Their shoes, if you laced them too tight, the string would break. I mean, just like, how long you had your shoes? Day and a half. Well, the soles are wore out. You're going to need another pair. I mean, and I'd be like, Mom, I don't want these. I want Converse. My dad looked at the price of Converse, and he said, you're going to have to make your own money to buy your Converse. So I was fed up. So I, in my teen heart, I'm making my own money. And so I raked yards in the fall. I shoveled snow in the winter. I mowed grass in the summer. I bought all my own stuff. I bought my racket. I bought my tennis shoes. Why? Because I was going to make that happen. I was the change agent. Would I had to do that? Tennis shoes don't make a man. He looks better, but don't make a man. Just having the right clothes, I get it. But what I'm saying is the pressure you feel and what our kids sometimes feel. Oh, you have to do this. You have to have that. Who has the, every time a new cell phone comes out, you got to have the, I have an 8, y'all. It still works. But like I'll turn it on and it goes, are you talking to me? It's not a 16 or whatever, but just saying. But don't be pressured to do or buy things. Let the Lord lead you. Be led by peace. And if you give and put God first, and I'm not talking just monetarily, I'm just saying God in your life. It's amazing the things. We find treasures at secondhand stores. And we don't even have to go there, but we do because it just, Kim has bought all kinds of Converse that look brand new. Here's a plug for Goodwill. Like $4 or something. And they look like they're brand new. You can pay $4 or you can pay $54. I'll just get the $4 pair because I can use $50 to go to New Regal. Huh? What? Anyway, so the truth is the crowd's going to they'll push you one way. But listen, majority of people are never going to go all in for God unless it is a group of believers and you're all in unity. I'm not saying that's not possible. It's happened in the Bible. I get it. But if you remember the 120 that were in the upper room, there was 500. 360 said, I'll see ya. So there's going to be a push of people. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. But there's going to be those that are saying, whatever God says, that's what I'm going to do. The few that follow God find out you can't beat God. He is amazing. He's remarkable. It is his provision that helps. It is his provision that we just rely on God. Sometimes you're going to have to buck the crowd. There's people out there just looking for somebody that will stand up and say what's right. Bartimaeus was being pressured. Be quiet. Don't say anymore. Shut up. But he knew, I'm getting his attention. So he goes kind of past the level instead of just Jesus. Because in a multitude of people, how many people are saying Jesus? This is what he does. He steps over into another realm. That's like my mom going, Brett, Brett, Brett. I could hear that all day and be like, I don't hear. Brett Allen. Oh, middle name. That's okay. I'm in trouble if I don't answer that one. Brett Allen Gleason, I'm already in trouble. She steps over and says, this will get him or whatever. Bartimaeus knew something, and so he's saying, listen, I'm not letting this opportunity pass. This is Jesus, son of David, the Messiah. Takes that step, crosses the line. Most of the people there, I could almost guarantee you, are just shouting, Jesus. You see, people can choose what they want to do, if you could see back in that day. And almost now, you can be who you want to be. Well, there are people that you can be anything you want to be. No, if Shaq wanted to be a jockey, that would probably not be a good idea. Shaq is really tall. Horses, they'd probably kill the horse. So, you know, in consideration of everything, you know what I'm saying. But if you were blind and you didn't have any help and you liked eating, you're going to beg. Because there's no other way for you to get money so that you can get food unless people give you handouts. So he heard about Jesus. He knew about the miracles. Now he had a choice. He could stay begging. He could stay quiet. He could listen to the crowd. But again, I'm talking really, you are the change agent on this Palm Sunday. He had to put his hand to this. But he could choose to believe that that is the Son of David. That is the Messiah. That is the Son of God. That is God in the flesh. He's coming by me. I'm getting healed. And that's what he chose. But see, on the outside, he still looked like the beggar. At that moment, to the normal eye, he's still Bartimaeus begging, Jesus, son of David. If they don't know what he's saying, it's just the same to those that are watching. Maybe he's a little more passionate. But on the inside, the switch had already changed. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. He's already decided. And when you think the way God wants you to think, and you begin to respond with the actions that follow the thinking, you start making the changes of who you are. Let me say it this way, of whose you are. Bartimaeus had made the switch. I don't know how long he'd heard about Jesus. I mean, we can figure out Jesus' ministry was about 3 years. And this is getting towards the end. So, I mean, he'd heard. That's why the multitude was there. People followed Jesus to get what they could get from him. Not all of them believed. They just knew he healed. And he fed. Something inside was stirred. Something made Bartimaeus say, this is a different day. This is something different than any other normal day. Even if it's busy, something, this is different because it isn't every day the Son of God walks by. He's determined to not miss his chance on his choice. He wasn't going to let anybody stop him. People could say, be quiet, but he was determined to get his miracle. You see, what happens is when he was determined to get God, people that were with him embarrassed them, that were around him. They got embarrassed. Who's this guy? When Zacchaeus was about 4, we took him to a grocery store, and we were getting some groceries, and a man walked by that looked like Jesus. And Zach decided, it's Jesus. And so he is 4, and he's fit in that little seat. And this guy walks by. Now, this guy doesn't have a robe on. Zach didn't say, Jesus, son of David, give me graham cracker. He didn't say anything, you know, other than this. He did say this. Jesus, 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 Jesus! And starts screaming. And we're like, Zach, 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 that's not Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, daddy, Jesus. What do you tell the guy? He thinks you're Jesus. But, you know, it was, the principle is kind of the same. It was kind of embarrassing. But, you know, he's 4. But these people are embarrassed, and this is what they're embarrassed about. He's blind. But Bartimaeus wasn't bothered by their embarrassment. Listen to what I'm about to say. Because he had been embarrassed his whole life. Sometimes we just go down the same road, the road that leads to nowhere. And we've been doing it so long. We know all the scenery. And when you finally get the chance, all the ones that maybe are close to you are like, I've heard this before. You've been wanting to get out of here. I get it. La, 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 la. It's the same as saying, Jesus, have mercy on me. But you don't care. Because if you get to who you're getting to, and that's God and Jesus, you will get what you ask. And your embarrassment will no longer have any hold on you, because you'll be free. Your answer will be there. He had made up his mind, I'm not going to continue this way. He said, it's now or never. If I don't do this, it won't change. Can I say to you, he doesn't know all of what Jesus' life is, but Jesus would not have been by to do that again. This was his chance. Desperation and faith mixed together. How hard does it have to get before we finally go, okay. And I don't mean, let me make a point. You know, if I say how desperate, I'm talking about despair and depression, fed up. Do you know that God says he'll never leave you or forsake you? So you don't have to be desperate that God's so far away. If he's far away, it's because you think he's far away. He's not. How long will it take us to do it God's way? To love him enough to just trust him for God, you work out all the details. There's no begging required. It's just believing. Do you know that Jesus isn't going back to Calvary again? Everything that was needed was done on that day, on that cross. Anything physical, anything mental, spiritual, financial, social, anything. He paid for it. I have to recommit myself sometimes to say, God, I want you at all costs. Forgive me where I've fallen short. Mark 10:50 says, and throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. You see, the proof is in the pursuit, isn't it? I could tell Kim all day long, I love you, baby. But if I don't pursue her, that doesn't really mean a lot. You know, it's like, hey, I was going to get you something for Christmas and your birthday and our anniversary, but you know. It's the thought that counts. Really? Every man in here says, that's not working. The proof is in the pursuit. You see, Bartimaeus had made up his mind. Inside, he had changed. So his mindset, he started believing, well, God, Jesus heals people. It doesn't matter what the crowd is saying. There could have been people. He's not going to heal you. He doesn't care about you. Back in that day, beggars are known by their appearance, the clothes they wore, the outer coat that Bartimaeus wore. When he threw off his coat, he was saying something significant. He was saying, he cast it off. He's blind, people. He can't find it. And with everybody walking there, who knows? Somebody could have picked it up. They're walking on it, kicked it off to the side. I don't know. But he didn't care because his choice was made. He was saying, Jesus was my answer, and he knows that Jesus is willing to heal him. And as far as Bartimaeus was saying, it's done. I'm putting everything out there. I'm going to get to him. He wasn't coming back. He wasn't going back to the corner, to the spot. He had thrown that old coat away. 2:26 of James, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, Bartimaeus couldn't see his clothes. He couldn't, I mean, he could feel them, but he doesn't know, maybe unless somebody told him what the color were or the texture. It was probably not a very not expensive type of garment. Just hand-me-down of some kind, maybe holes, I don't know. But see, his mindset had changed. I don't need this anymore. What he wore was common. Most beggars wore the same thing. Everybody could see him and go, that's a beggar. If there was a policeman here, he'd have on a, unless he's undercover. Bum, 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 bum. No. But if he's a policeman and has on a uniform, you'd recognize him by the uniform, the badge, or whatever. If a person came into this room, let me ask you this. They came into this room with medical scrubs on, a white jacket, and a stethoscope around their neck. What do you think they are? Why? Because of what they wear. The culture had already labeled him beggar, not worthy. Wear this because this is all you'll ever be. And if he didn't look the part of a beggar, he's not going to get the beggar's reward. Because if you don't look like a beggar and you're begging, the people would be like, I'm not helping you. He was labeled a beggar. They weren't like everyone else. They weren't part of society. They weren't productive. He was tolerated. He was pitied. The parents are probably like, don't get around there. Stay on this side. He wasn't treated or even allowed some of the same privileges as normal people. He wasn't anybody important. I want to challenge you today. What labels do we walk around that we're wearing ourselves? We might have labeled ourselves. Or maybe you grew up with somebody saying, you'll never amount to anything. You don't need that label. That's not God's label. Remember when Isley's was on Mount Vernon Avenue? Boy, I'm pulling all memories back, aren't I? I went in there and sat there by myself. This is BK before Kim. And sitting up at the counter, and some dude walks in with purple spiked hair. Now, this is back probably, it's either in the early 80s or the late 70s. Probably early 80s. Anyway, walks in, spiked hair, purple, tattoos, piercings. That's more common. Now, back in that day, I mean, he walked in and he banged the door open and then swags over. And I'm just looking at him. And he sits down beside me and this is what he says. What are you looking at? And here was my answer. I'm looking at you. Isn't that what you wanted? Because, I mean, if you're going to come in and you don't, and you're going to make noise, everybody's going to look at you. But, you know, he never gave me any more trouble. I didn't give him any more trouble. You see, sometimes we put our own labels on ourselves because we went through some tough stuff and the enemy has sold you the label. We look like grasshoppers. That's what I think and that's what they think too. Maybe you shouldn't label yourself. I'll never do that. I'll never succeed. My dad didn't do that. My grandpa or my mom. Be careful of how you label yourself. I don't think Bartimaeus was happy about his situation and the conditions, the lifestyle. I think he would, you know, now he's starting to dream what it would be like to see, to be a normal person in society. What would freedom be without, let's just say, all the medical bills or the mortgage or college debt? Or how about this? Without labels, stereotypes. What would freedom be like without Steeler fans? I just wanted to keep you awake, Marge. Sorry. I just want to be interactive with you guys, okay? But Bartimaeus had made up his mind. He was going to get to Jesus. Nobody was going to get in his way. By throwing away his coat, he's saying, I'm done with this. Jesus, you are my only option. You see, that's the thing about putting God first. That's what faith takes. God's your option. Follow his leading. You might not know everything until you take a step. You want to be a water walker? He doesn't tell you a lot until you get out of the boat. You need to be sure that what his word says. God says that it is his will to heal you. That's what his word says. I didn't write it. He did. And it's also, he will change you because he doesn't change. He doesn't have to. If you're perfect, you don't have to change. But he'll change you because you want to be more like him. He'll deliver you. What old clothes do we have that we're hanging on to? What things that we, you know, I mean, we've all probably seen an episode of Hoarders here or there. There are people that, you know, God loved them, and I get it. You can't have that. Don't touch that. Are you ever going to touch it? No. But Kim and I have moved too many times. I mean, we did it when the Lord told us to, and God has blessed us because we did it. We'd sell a house, and he'd say, buy this one. We'd buy it. We'd fix it up. We'd make some money, and we'd move again. And whatever he told us, that's what we did. But, you know, in all of those moves, and she can tell you this, we moved stuff that we never even saw what was in the boxes. They've been in the boxes for years. We're like, what are we doing? We don't even know what we're moving. You know, I don't know. We're just like, what is this? Is it part of the ark? I don't know. We started decluttering. So she was brave. She started looking in the boxes. And we were like, oh, I don't. And some of those things, if they really brought back, like, oh, I love that, you know, then we would keep it. But if it was like, I forgot I even had that, then my mindset's already changed. Hey, if we had a garage sale, we'd give that to somebody. Somebody might like that. But we were moving it just to move. We didn't even know what was in it. Part of us was just like, we can't ever get rid of that because we might someday need it. Some of that, there could be some truth in some of that. I don't think everything should be. There may be things you need to keep on because you may, you know. But there are some things that's just not faith. If I need it, my God will supply it. God will do that. If he says keep it, then I hang on to it. But again, think about what I'm saying. Like Bartimaeus, I'm putting him first on this Palm Sunday. God, what do you want me to do with this? My wife's got the prettiest smile I've ever seen. When we first started seeing each other, she wanted braces. And her teeth, I think she thinks they were terrible. I don't think they were terrible. I thought she had a beautiful smile then. But, you know, when she would laugh, when she would really laugh, you know, like a belly laugh. She didn't have a big belly, but like a belly laugh. You know, ha, ha, ha. And over, she would put her hand up. And she would cover her mouth because she didn't want anybody, I think, to see her teeth. I've put all my kids through braces. That's God, let me tell you. So I have God doing that. I needed to get her braces. So I'm like, Lord, what do we do? So he said, we had to have come up with so much money for a down payment for her braces, and then it was so much a month. And if some of you have already been there, you know that. You know, I would love to say, oh, I always had that in my reserve. Nope. So we put our hand to it. We had a garage sale. And we were like, okay, I need to make X amount of dollars because I'd have money by like the next day or something to put down for her braces. So I ended up putting a car in there for sale too. 20 minutes till 5, we had just made a couple $100s or something like that, maybe not a whole lot. And we were holding on to, God, you told us to have this garage sale. You told me to put the car in there. I'm just believing. I don't know. And I had people that were, you know, neighbors. Well, this is about it. You might as well close it up. It's 20 till 5. And we were like, no, no. Did you know, like at about a quarter or 10 till, 12 till or whatever, this guy pulls up, buys everything and the car. And we went and paid for her braces. I mean, the down payment. And then, you know, what are you telling me? I'm telling you, follow God, put him first, and Jesus will show you. His spirit will direct. It says the steps of a righteous man are order of the Lord. He will help you. It's a light unto your path. He'll show you what to do. See the situation the way God sees it. God's not concerned about that. So I just had to tell myself, I'm not going to be concerned about that. Here's the deal. Bartimaeus made no provision to stay or go back. That's why he threw off his coat. What are you hanging on to? The Bible says he blesses the work of your hands. I'm the change agent. You want to lose weight? Watch what you put down your mouth. I'm speaking to myself. So I want a better memory. You know, there's some things you can do to help your memory increase. Give your brain some things to do. You want friends? Be friendly. There's people, I have no friends, because you're a grouch. If you be nice, people might hang around you. If you start being on a mission for God and start just blessing people, just being nice, just being kind, doing whatever the Lord says, you'll get happy. You'll forget your troubles. They should write a song about that. Forget all your troubles. Come on, get it. What I'm trying to tell you is God has a plan for you. You just need to put him first. Just love on him. You got issues? There ain't anybody in here, including me, that their plate sits completely straight on the table. We all got to just like, Lord, how do I work on that? What do I need to do? He will show you. That's what he wants. He wants you to depend on him and lean not on your own understanding. Just acknowledge, God, you're God. You're my God. See, that's what Bartimaeus was saying. You are my God. Have mercy on me. Bow your heads, close your eyes.